Welcome to Falling in Love with God's Word with Jill Grossman. Hi, I'm Jill. I'm glad you're taking the time to grow in your understanding of God's holy word. I invite you to visit jillgrossman.com. There you'll find additional resources to help you fall in love with God's word even more, such as books, speaking topics, and workshops. Now, let's get started with today's lesson. Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this book, and we thank you for the deep lessons in it. And I just ask, Father, that you just be with me now, with the words that you gave me for this lecture, and that it just helps us go even deeper from the wonderful discussion that we had in class. And again, my prayer is move what is me aside. Let that fall away, and let what your point, your word, take root in what you want us to hear. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've got a little sinus drip, so hang in there with me. All right. Everything we do is spiritual. Everything. Everything we say affects the spiritual world. We can bless ourselves, or we can curse ourselves. Or we can bless somebody, or we can curse somebody. You know, the example is my dad used to joke about, oh, I'll probably win the lottery, but then I'll walk across the street to collect my earnings and be hit by a truck. He's blessing and cursing. Oh, we have to watch that, right? Everything in this world has a spiritual component to it. In chapter 3, Paul tells the believers of Colossae that they have been given a new life by Christ, who is exalted in heaven. And it is only right that we focus our aspirations on heavenly things. We should understand that everything we do is spiritual. Now, there's a United Kingdom pastor, he lives in the United Kingdom. He's a pastor of a ministry. His name's Ranald McCauley. And he said, Spirituality involves the whole of human life. Nothing is unspiritual. And he's right. And Professor Jerome Bars said, spirituality is to be expressed primarily in the ordinary, everyday affairs and relationships of our lives. A genuine spiritual life is built on the believer's association with Christ. How Christ-like are we? How Christ-like are we? Are we here in this class any less spiritual because we meet in a church where some of us aren't members? Does that make us less spiritual because we may not meet here? No. We are a conglomeration of believers coming together in unity to study God's word. Going to the same church doesn't make us Christ-like. Our personal walk with Christ is what reflects our Christ-like nature. Christians come together for many reasons because we know Jesus as fully God and understand he is fully in us. Remember last week's message from Colossians 2:9. For Christ in all the deity lives in bodily form. Not in some of the deity, in all the deity. The Colossian Christians were new believers, and they didn't have the New Testament and all of Paul's letters that he had sent to refer to. They had heard the word of God preached, but at the same time, the false teachers had a chance to speak from the pulpit, and they were making Christ less fully God. They were seducing believers into thinking that genuine spirituality requires more knowledge, requires having more experiences, keeping more rules. There was no talk of freedom in the risen Christ. So that's why Paul is passionate. He's passionate about driving that point home, about being Christ is supreme. He's passionate about it. He talks that we are already in Christ and that we are already dead. Like we're spiritually dead. He's talking about that. That we have to die to self. Again, everything is spiritual. We are new creations when we believe in him. Christ's new life in us broke the power of sin over us. The power has no power anymore. We are now spiritually united with Christ. And as a new creation in him, we've been raised up and seated with Christ next to the Father. What a place of honor. Do we even contemplate that position? of honor like that? Have we really thought about that? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Now, I'm referring to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We have some friends. And what they did for a while is they flip-flopped houses. And also, they're not here tonight, but Kirk and Leanne. Well, you work for them. They buy houses. And they take tattered, dirty, neglected homes and renovate them into something shiny and new for another person. The house is still the same. The owners have just changed. It's the same with sin. Our lives reflected that neglect from our sin. But then we met Christ, and he made the difference in us. So the old is gone, and the new has come. This was such a hopeful message to the new believers in Colossae in Paul's day. And, well, it's a great message of hope for us today, too. But let me ask you, what shape is your house in? Is it run down and neglected? Have you let sins hang around? The weeds growing up? Have you been paying attention? With Christ's Spirit in us, we can partner with the Holy Spirit to remove the sin that is dwelling there. Paul says that if we do this, in verse 2, he says, set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Again, everything has a spiritual component to it. Everything is spiritual that we do. We have the power given to us through the authority in Jesus Christ. We can cast out a demon. We can heal somebody. Well, actually, we don't do the... It's their faith that makes them healed. But we can be a conduit from heaven. We live under an open heaven. We have all that Christ has available to us. We carry the power in those prayers also. There is power in prayers. But this scripture is telling us to dwell on the one who dwells above. Do we dwell on Christ? Do we ponder that? Are we doing that? We should get in the habit of bringing the Lord into everything we do, every decision we make. Lord, what parking spot do you want me to have in front of, you know, Publix? Lord, what should I wear today? Do you want me to wear this? Do you want me to wear that? Get in the habit of bringing him into everything. That's how we develop that fullness. Why? Because we must be what we are. And what we are is alive in Christ. So let's live that way. In verse 5, Paul starts off by saying, put to death, therefore. And they always say if it says therefore, then it's there for a reason, right? So put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Put to death. Meaning, whatever sin you are still partnering with, many mentions, we talked about it, sexual immorality, impurity, any kind of lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry. And then he goes over to verse 8 and mentions the everyday ones. And he says, but now you must rid yourself of all such things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lying. Some of us are so used to this in our lives that we buy into the lie that it's just the way things are. It's a fallen world we live in. It's just, you know, we're just trying to get through. No, that's a lie. Paul is telling us we must put to death, literally kill whatever belongs to our earthly nature. And by the way, this is a command. It's not a suggestion. Because in verse 8, at the beginning of verse 8, it says, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things. You must. I love the Old Testament. I love all the stories. And in the Old Testament, well, there's a lot of beheadings. Now, that's not what I love, but, you know, it's a juicy Old Testament book. In wars, the conquered enemy kings and the leaders were beheaded. Sometimes the head was put on a stick and paraded around. Sometimes the head was on a fence. One of the stories, the heads were all put in baskets and sent back to the enemy camp. But the most famous is Goliath. When David killed Goliath and he beheaded him. A beheading meant complete victory. Complete. Displaying the head left no doubt that his enemy was no longer a threat. That's why David held the big head up and he showed it to everybody. That's why they put heads on sticks to show that don't fear anymore. This is over. This is killed. Another example if you'll allow me to go here. I know I'm going here, but I'll bring it back. Another example is when the Philistines captured the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, and from the Israelites. That's found in 1 Samuel chapter 5. And they put the Ark in their temple next to their god, Dagon. And it was to show that their God's superiority over the God of Israel. Well, they went in to check on, went into the temple, and their Dagon is laying face down. So he was a huge, huge, huge statue. So it took many people, and they got him back up. And then the next day, they came back in, and Dagon was face down. His head was broken off, and his hands were broken off. And this is the Lord's way of saying, he is no threat. You know, the Lord got rid of the pagan god by beheading even the statue. So looking at these examples from that point of, from sin, from the point of sin, I believe we all have a tendency to, we have a tendency to conquer our sin, but we don't cut the head off. We don't cut the, it's not a complete victory. We conquer it, but we don't cut it off. So it's allowed to grow back. And it grows back with a vengeance, and then we do it again, and we do it again. We have to put it to death. That's what Paul is saying. Some of us have grown so used to it that, well, it's just the way I am. No, no, that's a lie. And it's a lie because it clearly says this with Paul. I don't know why when I was putting this together, this one little memory came up, and it was kind of goofy, but back in the early 80s, I went to see, I had some extra money to play with, so I went to see a nutritionist, and she put me on all these vitamins and made me get off of coffee, and it was, you know, and after about a week and a half, I had to go back and see her. And she says, how you doing? And I said, and it's probably why this stuff sticks out. And I said, well, I'm okay. I said, I'm kind of boring. I said, I'm boring myself. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, well, the caffeine kind of, you know, I'm middle of the day. I have that little caffeine fix and I get me going. And but I'm just kind of even keeled. And she said, the good, you're feeling good and it's foreign to you. And you don't know how to act in a good place. You're used to the bad. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say. That's probably why that came into mind. Is we get settled in going round and round and round and conquering the sin but letting it come back again. Conquering the sin and letting it come back again. We've got to lop it off. And we've got to get used to the new way. New clothes always have a different feel. Some of them are a little stiffer, you know, they're a little crisper. We've got to get used to that new stuff. So how much Christ is in our lives, really? How much are we really letting Christ in? How much change have we really made? We are not to just resist sin. Like I said, we're just supposed to put it to death. We're supposed to put it to death. We're supposed to lop its head off and parade it around if we have to. We must take the initiative to kill those lifelong habits. Paul mentions anger, rage, filthy language, etc. Well, let me ask you something. Do we tell those off-color jokes around some of our friends who aren't looking because we're kind of, you know, doing all that, you know, we push the envelope a little bit? Or do we, at church, do we fellowship with each other but we're really gossiping? How are we, mindful of that? Do we fall into that? We have to watch that. But if we go through verses 5 through 9, where they list it all, and Paul's specific. So, like we had mentioned, some of them are sins of the body and some of them are sins from the heart. But go through them and then ask the Lord to reveal, Lord, what needs to be put to death? What needs to be put to death and why? Why am I saying this? Because what we learned. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. That's a powerful, powerful sentence. And it comes in between them. I mean, the lists of things. Everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. If our words are becoming critical or even sarcastic, then we need to choose to speak kindly. We are alive in Christ and He lives fully in us. We are seated with Him in the heavens. We are seated with Him in the heavens. Think about that. What honor. We must act in a way that reflects this. There's a pastor out there, a speaker Steve and I follow. His name's Chris Ballatin. He said, if we're not full of Christ, then we're full of ourselves, which isn't a good thing. Verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This all works together when we're in unity with one another. I can't do this by myself. I can act like this in my home by myself, but it doesn't affect anybody. We need other people for it to work. We show compassion. We show humility. We show kindness and patience and gentleness. We need each other to do it. There's a section in Ephesians, which is it's the end of chapter 5 to the beginning of chapter 6. That's synonymous with this section we're talking about in Colossians. The Ephesians passage mentions the same things, but it's to be filled with them by the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. The fruits of the Spirit are faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Thank you, Steve Green. But we're to be filled with the Spirit. In this passage, Paul urges us to let the attributes dwell in us. So one is to fill us, but the other is to dwell. And they're very similar. Paul wrote Ephesians and Colossians around the same time. So this was very heavy on his heart, to be filled with the Spirit and let it dwell in you. That's why it's so important. We as believers must be under the influence of the Word of Christ, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message Bible, puts this passage in his words, and I love it. Let the Word of Christ have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. I just love that, which is true. Genuine spirituality is not found by following false teaching, which leads away from Christ. Genuine spirituality is found in having our lives transformed into the character of Christ. We, as members of a Christian community, should conduct ourselves in a manner that brings harmony to our community, right? I mean, notice how the sins mentioned earlier disrupt the community and damage human relationships. Then you go through that. It completely messes over the unity that the Lord's after. Paul knew the false teachers were disrupting the unity within the community. But in a true Christian community, all barriers are abolished. Verse 11. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. So here there are no Greek or Jew, racial prejudices. Circumcised or uncircumcised, the religious spirit. Barbarian and Scythian, the cultural differences. Barbarians did not speak Greek, so they were known as uncivilized. Scythians, if I'm saying that right, were known for their brutality and were considered a little better than wild beasts. And slave or free, the social statures. But all in all in Christ. That's what Paul was addressing. None of that matters. Paul's point is that all that matters is Christ in us, like Julie was saying. Unity within Christians comes from Christ being at the center of it all. It does not mean that people cease to be Greek or Jew. It doesn't mean they cease to be slave or free. But those distinctions don't matter. The false teachers then and the false teachers of today like to divide people into categories. The elite versus the ordinary. The spiritual versus the not so spiritual. The truth is, all believers are equal. All believers are to discard any and all behaviors and attitudes which are inappropriate for our new life in Christ. They're inappropriate. The real question here is, how much in love are you with Jesus Christ? How much in love are we with our Savior in order to make those changes? Is He worth changing those behaviors? If the answer is yes, then we need to make sure that every word and every deed is done in the name of the Lord Jesus, like it says in verse 17. Ask yourself, would Jesus say this? Would He say it this way as you're getting ready to talk to somebody? Would He say, would I be glad for Him to be with me while I did this particular deed? Kind of run it through that little filter. You know, would I be glad He's with me while I watch this movie? You know, Jesus doesn't go upstairs and go to bed. You know, he's with us all the time. It's literally that, what would Jesus do? WWJD, what would Jesus do? We are alive in Christ. We are children of God in Christ. We carry the Spirit of Christ. Everything we do has a spiritual component to it because everything is spiritual. I'm going to end with a song, an old song, you probably recognize it from Amy Grant, but I just love it. It completely brings us back to everything we're talking about. It's called The Now and Not Yet. And so just listen for a moment, and then we'll end in prayer. Father, take us deeper. Take us deeper. Fine-tune us. Fine-tune us, Lord. It's getting dark out there in this world, and we desperately want to be that light. We want to be that light. We want to put on the new clothes. We want to let the old self die. So bring to our hearts, bring to our minds this week what needs to be dealt with. Let us kill it. Let us put it to death. And lop it off so we can be done and free and full in you. And let us dwell this week that we are seated at the right hand with you. All the authority you have is in us. Let us dwell on that, Lord. That's powerful. That's powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our light. We love you so much. May we have a blessed week. May we think of you always in everything we do and say and indeed. Just may we dwell in your attributes, Lord. And we ask this in your precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. 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 I hope you enjoyed this week's lesson, and I encourage you to fall in love with God's Word.